Dave McCarthy sits up when we look at finance. Dave, morning to you.
Very good morning.
Oliver Turner will be joining us later on because we're talking about a wonderful production in the Town Hall Theatre. But you're saying that we should talk about the price of sterling because half of Galway has gone to Ruislip at the weekend. Is sterling in good shape, I wonder, even at this stage?
Well, it's quite expensive over there anyway at the best of times. So whether it's sterling, the exchange rate or not, it's going to be pricey.
It's going to be, but look, it's a big weekend for them out there. So it is, Dave, from there. We're looking at a number of financial issues today on the programme, and sterling is not one of them today, but problems that people are having with banks is certainly one of them indeed. I know you dealt with it last week as well, but can you explain what a kick-out bond is? I was shown some data by a friend of mine and he's trying to get me into a kick-out bond. What? I thought I knew most things. What is a flipping
kick-out
bond?
Well, there you go. It's an interesting name. What it is a description for a type of investment that is fully regulated. A kick-out bond, as the name suggests, is something that might mature early. So, for example, you can have a kick-out bond that might be, say, for 5 years. It might be tied to a stock market index, say, like the Eurostoxx 50, which is the main index in Europe. And the way it works is that if that index is above maybe its start level after a year, it kicks out or matures early and will pay you a predictive return.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't kick out then, it could kick out maybe in year two, year three, year four, and then it has to mature in year five. So what it is, it's an investment that very simply can mature early and pays you a predictive return, a return that's set in stone at the beginning. So the example I gave, for example, maybe that one might pay you 5% after a year. And if it goes on to the second year, that goes up by another 5%. They're very effective. They are very popular, and across Europe, they're probably the most popular type of investment in France and Germany. In Italy, they are the one type of investment that has grown rapidly over the years. And they're available in this country, but only very limited, through a very limited number of institutions.
So would you recommend yay or nay?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of experience with my own clients in them. And it depends on the structure of the kick-out bond, but definitely it's they've been proven, in my opinion, to work very well.
Okay. After many years, my house is now in positive equity. It's not my family home anymore. Should I consider selling it? I don't understand that.
Well, basically, this is somebody, and there's a lot of people out there like this, who would have maybe bought the house on their own.
Yeah.
And lived in it for a number of years, and now they're maybe cohabitating with a significant other or married, and they've moved on to live in a second house that they would own. Maybe with the... So, very simply, you get a lady of 40 years of age who bought a house that she lived in for a number of years. She was single then, and 10 years later, she's got married and she's moved in with her husband into his house. So that's what this is meant here. And during the period of the financial downturn, that house was in negative equity. In other words, the mortgage was a lot more than the value of the house. So a lot of people went through a lot of pain at that stage. And now with property prices having dramatically improved, thankfully for most of them, they're in positive equity. In other words, they're making money in the house and she has it rented. I suppose there are a number of issues here relating to rental and all of that, which I've covered before. And some people would have said, in a situation like this particular person, if I ever got my head above water with the house, I'll get rid of it because I've gone through so much pain. These were people like this person were accidental landlords.
Yeah.
Right? So all I would just say to you is sit back and take a look at it. And maybe if you want to get out from under the mortgage, even though maybe the rent is covering that, but you might like the psychological advantage.
If you don't want to be a landlord and get out.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, would she then, where we're saying she in this situation, would she get cut for capital gains tax on that?
Possibly not. It depends on what she bought the house for and what it would sell for now. But, you know, I kind of get the feeling from the tone of the question, it's probably not too far above positive equity, so she might have very little capital gains tax to pay.
So again, just maybe seek the advice of financial advice and an auctioneer as well to see what it's worth.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And take it from there. Are on post interest rates still worth looking at?
There is a bit of an urban myth about on post interest rates. I'm not criticising them or anything like that, but that for some reason, unpost is much more attractive for an investment than maybe alternative investments, like one we mentioned earlier on, like kick-out, or maybe other capital-protected investments that are out there. You need to be clear and understand that unpost interest rates are affected by general interest rate trends. They're not any different to, in terms of exposure to the market rates, like banks and that. They can be marginally better, but only marginally. And usually things like savings certs and savings bonds are for long periods of time, 3, 5, or 10 years. And when you work down the return annually, it's not particularly attractive. Mm. So it's grand for some people, but there was a period.
Is it safe for people?
Yeah, absolutely, no question. There was a period many years ago where unpost rates were far more attractive than the banks, but that hasn't... That's gone a long time.
Mm. I'm going away for work about 3 or 4 months. My house will be empty. Should I let my insurance company know?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at your policy, there will be a clause in there about the length of time that you leave your house unoccupied. And if you are, you need to tell them. And there could be changes in the cover that's provided for your house in terms of things like contents and that. But, you know, if the policy states that you've left the house unoccupied for more than, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, whatever is in there, and you have a problem beyond that, well, then you could have a real problem because they will try to wangle out of the claim. So very important, if you're going to be away for any lengthy period of time and the house is unoccupied, and I stress unoccupied, which is what this question was, you should let them know.
Somebody on the screen is just asking about unpost savings bonds. I have a load of them from when I was a child. How do I cash them in? What are savings bonds?
Yeah, well, they might have had prize bonds. They could have said savings bonds that got rolled over the years. Very simple. Just go onto the Unpost website. There's plenty of information on who you contact and how you contact them. In other words, to encash the bonds. And they should be able to provide you with all the information you need.
From there. And caller said here, I'm 45. Do you think it's a good idea to take out an AVC? Yes, is the answer.
Yeah. If you have the ability...
At 45 or younger even.
Yeah. If you have the ability to contribute to an AVC, and just to clarify what is an AVC, AVC stands for Additional Voluntary Contribution. Mm-hmm. It's a way of people topping up the pension that they are paying into in an occupation. Only for occupation, you can't have an AVC, it doesn't matter when you're self-employed. Yeah, it is, because you will get, you know, considerable tax relief on it, and you can stop and start the contributions as suits you, and you can also make lump sum contributions to it as well. Mm-hmm. So it is a nice way, if you have the ability in your salary, to be able to top up your pension so that, you know, hopefully when you get closer to retirement, you have a greater pot to be able to draw on when you get to the stage of having to draw on it.
Finally, I have an investment that recently matured with a capital guarantee on it that I took out 5 years ago. I got back the original investment amount and made no gain on it. I'm very disappointed at the performance, and I'm wondering what your comments would be on this, Dave McCarthy.
Well, I always say if you're looking for capital protection, you also have to be aware that there's a possibility that you're getting into an investment that doesn't have any risk attached to it, or very little risk attached to it. In fact, in this case, there was no risk, that maybe the return may not be great, or you may not get any return. But you also have to think that the reason you took out an investment like that with full capital protection is that you knew in your own mind that no matter what happens at the end of the day, I want my money back. And then there can be a trade-off. I'm not saying it always happens, it doesn't. There can be a trade-off where maybe you won't get back much of a return, or no return in this case. So I suppose it's back to the old adage, take a bit of risk if you want to get a reasonable return, but don't get too hung up on capital protection.
Mm. But you got your money back, you didn't lose.
Yeah, exactly.
How many times,
a lot of people are happy with that too.
How many times in this studio have we spoken about people that lost money?
Yeah.
You know, so just if you got it back, you got it back.
Yeah, just be sensible about the decision you're making and be sensible about what your expectations are for the investment that you're going into.
Well, I think that's managing expectations is a huge problem for everybody.
Well, I can tell you
better than a lot of people.
Well, I can tell you, Keith, in no uncertain terms, managing expectations in the financial world is an incredibly difficult thing at times to do, because sometimes people's expectations can be quite challenging.
Mm. Dave McCarthy, again, of McCarthy and Associates in Mudkeith, thank you for joining us. 0116 66022 for further details. Quick commercial break, and we're back just after these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monave Road.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. It's gone a little dull outside again, but we'll brighten it up for you, I promise you. We'll crank up the generator and see can we brighten it up there. Anyway, the Town Hall Theatre will be hosting Neil Titley's one-man show about Oscar Wilde. Work is the Curse of the Drinking Classes. It's on tomorrow evening in the Town Hall Theatre. Further details on tickets can be had from tht.ie, or you can call them on 0915 69 777 and book your tickets from there. But the wonderful Neil Titley joins you on the line. Neil, morning to you.
Good morning. Hi. It is, in fact, Will Govan. I'm starring in the show.
Excuse me, Will, written by
Neil Titley.
Apologies to you, but congratulations on this. For Oscar Wilde fanatics, indeed, it's going to be a feast for them tomorrow.
Yes, I absolutely hope it will be. For those people who don't know much about Oscar Wilde, and indeed those people who know a lot about him.
Again, I mean, there's huge interest in Oscar Wilde. There's huge interest in a lot of those characters, indeed, or those wonderful characters that we grew up with, that we learned about, indeed. But there's great affinity with Oscar Wilde in the West.
I think there is. I don't think he's ever been more current. And in fact, I think that's the beauty of his writing. It's very contemporary. It makes just a huge amount of sense now. It's like it was written today, although it was, you know, written over 100 years ago, you know.
Again, the performance then, do you become Oscar Wilde? Do you spend the day getting ready for the performance?
Well, I've spent the last year doing that, really.
Yeah.
So I find myself speaking like Oscar Wilde when I go to the pub or I'm with my friends. So it starts to inhabit his character. And he was such a lovely kind of bloke that's a nice thing, really, you know.
And I'm sure those friends in the pub or otherwise will knock you down to size fairly quickly. So then you have to get up the following day and start all over again.
They would. Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, no, he's been a real joy to, you know, to get to know, you know, over the last year. And I don't profess to having known a lot about him in the past, read, you know, his work and so on. And most of it, the kind of fairly lighthearted kind of stuff. But I've really got to know him a bit. And yeah, he's a great character.
And again, the story that you will tell tomorrow night in the Town Hall Theatre. So, I mean, the doors are opening at 7:30, and I believe you're on stage at 8 p.m. from there. And again, if they want to get details, 0915 69 777 would be the box office number, or tht.ie. How long is the performance, can I ask you, Will?
It's an hour long.
So you'll have them.
And
you'll have them.
Sorry,
out,
go ahead.
You'll have them out and educated, so you will by 9:10.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I certainly think that a lot of people who come to see the show, they come away thinking, wow, I want to know more about him, you know? And I think that's a lovely thing about it. It's a great introduction to Oscar Wilde. And it really, the lovely thing about the show is that although, you know, it's very funny, but it's also very tragic, he finds something humorous in everything. And so it's a bit of a roller coaster, but I hope people come away thinking, wow, I didn't know that about him, and I want to know more.
Yeah, and I suppose I came across a very, well, when I say young, I'm 62, but I came across an 18-year-old recently who's absolutely obsessed with Oscar Wilde. So it goes across many genres.
Yeah, it really does. And like I said, he's just, you know, he's a very, very contemporary character. And although I'm kind of dressed, you know, in period dress of that time, and imagine a cafe in the late 1800s in Paris, when he talks, he's talking like, you know, like somebody might be commenting on things today. I mean, somebody very clever, obviously, but it's absolutely relevant, you know.
I was looking at some of the styles, indeed, of Wilde, and which you will be dressed in tomorrow night, Will Govan. But I mean, the style in which he dressed is very much in vogue now.
Well, I think he was a bit of a trendsetter, but I think he also he dressed in a pretty crazy way too. I think he wore kind of anything he wanted, which is rather fun. That's right. Yeah, but I think you're probably right. It's pretty timeless. Absolutely.
I love the title as well. Work is the curse of the drinking glasses. You know, it really is a throwback to bygone days.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, there's so many kind of elements of the play that you think, I've heard that before, but I didn't know who to attribute it to, you know. So there's lots of lovely, you know, sayings similar to that. I mean, he would have been a great person to sit next to at a dinner party, without a doubt.
And this is set back in 1898, yes?
Yeah, that's right. So it's right. It's in a cafe, Paris, 1898. So he's really kind of, you know, very close to the end of his life. Obviously, he was released from prison where he spent 2 years hard labor. And so he's really kind of on his uppers. He's drinking a lot at that stage. He's smoking 80 fags a day. But he's still very lucid, and he's actually, he was still very productive at that stage of his life, but he didn't have long left. He died in 1900.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. So did you ever get to see Midnight in Paris, that film? It is one of my favourite films. I think it gives me a dose of Paris when I want a lift, but it's a beautiful production, so it is. But it epitomises that time, indeed, when there was no electricity, really. It was all done by... times were much simpler back then, but the writing was very strong.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's really changed that much. People haven't really changed.
No.
You know, like I said, he's very contemporary. I mean, a lot of things are touched on in the show that are very, you know, very, very relevant right now.
Absolutely. So listen, if they want to go along tomorrow night, they can get details. And again, they can get them from tht.ie. You'll have them in and out. It's written by Neil Titley, indeed. And it is performed by your good self, indeed, Will Govan. Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoy Galway. Will you get to spend some time in Galway?
I wish I could. Unfortunately, I got to travel back on Friday. But what I really want to see is an otter. Because I understand they come quite close into the city. Is that right? I'd love to see a wild otter there.
I don't know about otters, to be honest. I know, and I'm a native of the city here, so I am, and I know the waterways fairly well. I haven't. We'll see. Can we find you one now? There's a couple of nightclubs that have reopened, so you could find a few otters at about 3 o'clock the following morning, perhaps as well. When you go to the nightclubs, they think they're otters, but they're something else. So they are. But we'll see. Does anybody know where we could get Will to view Will Govan? We might see. Can we get one of the clan of boatmen to bring you out on a boat, or otherwise, anyone know where there's an otter? Because he has to get back. But we'll be in contact. Will, thanks for joining us today on the programme. And it's great to have you in town. That's going to be absolutely beautiful. So it is 569-777 or tht.ie. And I'm just looking there. And the tickets are available and you can book them online. And tickets are only €20 for Thursday the 4th, which is tomorrow night. And you can just buy them online right now, so you can. Otters along the canal in Galway City. Where? We need to find one. Can you tell them to hang on until tomorrow, until we get Will to have a view of them, please? Now, we're going to Ballygar this coming Friday, and John has got details of it. John, morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
You're bringing me down into the bowels of the county again.
Yeah, it's going to be a long... hope you have your passport and maybe... cert and everything else. Yeah, we're going to Ballygar, and we have a number of guests that will be joining us. I still have to make contact with a few of them, but here's how it's looking so far. We'll have Conor Moore, and he's the chairperson of the Ballygar Carnival. We also have the likes of Emma O'Malley, who is from the Matty McDonough Centre, and she's also principal of the secondary school, and Helene Hanley, badminton, and also principal of the primary school. We'll look at history in Ballygar with the likes of Tom Kenny and Jerry Connolly. We have some characters coming on as well. Pat Regan, who is a local guard and he's involved with the youth club. Also, Pat Greeley, who is known as Sky News Ballygar, because he knows everyone's business in the area. He'll be talking to us.
Sky News Ballygar.
That's a good nickname. So I haven't heard of that.
Is Anna Botting going to be down there with him?
We'll have to wait and see. Fonn Gavekimage. We also have Father Dougie, who who is the parish priest locally as well. We have the likes of Enda Holmes from the, he's a Galway ladies football selector, and he's also representing St. Brendan's ladies football. And we have the likes of Jonathan Fitzmaurice of St. Brendan's GA and Sean Gavin of Shiven Rovers. There'll also be some other representatives joining us from different groups and clubs, the likes of Louise Holian, who's from Ballygar Mental Health Awareness and Promotion, and Jane Kelly Conroy of the Ballygar Trucking and the B&T Le Caila Benevolent Fund. As well as that, we'll have Gráinne Geraghty, who competed in Scotland last week for the World Championships in Irish Dancing, and also Jarlett McNamara. And there's also a representative from the FOSS and Community Development coming, Melissa Healy. And Pat Hannon will be talking about the new pitch development there, and Michael Lohan about hurling as well. So that's what's looking so far, Keith. Still a few to be confirmed, and I'll be making contact with other people very shortly as well.
And is it true that you've got a helicopter to bring me down?
If you call the Yaris a helicopter, yeah. Just while I'm here, Keith, as well.
Yaris there are, a helicopter.
There are other community
noises, mind you, I have to say, yeah. Go on.
It'll take flight. There are other community matters coming in the coming weeks and months as well. Fortunately, you will not be a part of it as you head off into the sunset. But on the 19th of April, the first one without you, Keith, will be in Clonbur. On the 3rd of May, we're in Clifton. 17th of May, Port Tumna. The 31st of May, Ballyban. 14th of June, Knocknacarra. 28th of June, Milltown. The 12th of July, Loughrea. The 26th of July, Spittle. The 9th of August, Annadown. The 23rd of August, Barna. The 6th of September, Oranmore. The 20th of September, Uachtaráid. The 4th of October, Kilmore. 18th of October, Dunmore. The 1st of November, Cahillastrán. That's how it's looking so far. There might be one or two added in between then, and more after that as well. But if anyone from any of those areas wants to get involved, do email comments at goabfm.ie and do so straight away, because the early bird catches the worm.
I'll tell you what I will do, though, and I won't tell you which one, but one of those I'll come in just as the red light goes on, and I'll be the heckler for the whole thing down the back. So I'll be roaring down the back at you just to see how you handle it from
and
there.
Just a reminder, on Ballygar, we're coming from Kenny's Bar in Ballygar, the centre of the town.
You just set up these places again. You know, you'll get breakfast yourself.
Look, they have good fibre broadband. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Nothing to do with the breakfast at all.
No.
Lean hand, definitely. I mean, for the crew and liturgists. Now, it's up to Kelly's Bar now to better lean hand.
They're going to lift it now. Maria's going to lift it. Maria Kelly, she's going to look after us and she's going to lift it.
Mm. Listen, thanks for joining us today. So again, Ballygar this coming Friday morning, and if you want to get involved with us, you can do. The following Friday then is my last Friday here, so we're going to have a bit of fun, so we are.
There's going to be a few special guests and a few surprises, Tony. I'll keep you on your toes that day.
I told you I don't want surprises.
No, you're going to get them.
We'll have a row now. This time, it'll be the first row we've ever had. Speaking of helicopters, by the way, your father's a mechanic.
Yeah.
In Ballinrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could he not just put a rotor on the top of that? The Yaris.
I don't know if we'll get through the inspections there at the NCT centres, but we'll give it a go.
Sure, you could take it off with that. Yeah, if we put a rotor on the end of that, Mr. Morley, now. I don't know.
Cut a few hedges, maybe.
Cut a few hedges. You could do a lot, but you could just drop in then. You know, it's an idea. And I'm glad that as part of your job description that you've got the use of a helicopter as well, just to go to Castlebar. Good luck. Now, quick commercial break and we're back just after these. I could never get a contract like that, but you'd have the free helicopter that would just pull up outside there. That's the two-seater, the Robinson, yeah. It'll pick them up outside. A lot of comments coming in too, by the way, today. We'll give them to you. By the way, spare a thought today for the unfortunate family indeed in Rafu, with strong McCullen connections, the Bowden family. Just, I don't know, but that's consumed my thought process when it comes to sadness, I have to say, over the last week since it happened. I didn't know the family. I knew a lot of people who did know the family. And I met John Morton during the week there, and I met, he's an engineer in town, and John said he did a lot of work with the family, and they were just a lovely family. But more and more people that I bumped into and met and had coffee with and otherwise spoke so fondly of them. Today is their final journey, and as we speak, they're making their way from her dad's house, the Carlin house in Rafo, to the church, and then the parish priest there. We tried to make contact with him this morning, but he was just too busy. But he is going to say Mass then at 12 o'clock. And then the three of them are going to be laid to rest in the adjoining cemetery in Rafo as well. Just spare them a prayer at this stage. I know that a lot of other people have lost, and tragedy, and have lost people down through the last couple of days as well. And it's tough on them, and they're making their last journey now too, perhaps as well. But tough on them. But just remember the family indeed from Rafo. Just, I thought of them this morning when I woke. It was good and early, and it was dark this morning when I woke. But I thought of them, and I thought of the dad in question. That's his family. They're just gone. So spare them a prayer, if you don't mind. We're back after this.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
Now, a few comments coming into us today, and goes as follows. The Galway Corporation came to White Oaks today and cut the lawn. They did not clean up after themselves. It's a disgrace. And there's a red setter with a white chest and white front, right paw, missing since Monday. Last seen on Monday morning. Could you please keep an eye on the Dunirie area for that? Hi, did Galway BFM put out an appeal for witnesses to a bicycle accident in Ballylahon Beach in the last 2 weeks? And Keith, I'm from South Mayo, was in Galway City with my 9-year-old daughter on Saturday the 30th. Just gone when we returned to our car at Heinz's car park about 4:45. As my daughter was nervous in the lift, we proceeded upstairs to the third floor. About halfway up, two men were sitting in our way, and as we waited for them to move, I noticed the syringes and needles and more drug-related paraphernalia as well. Let's say things weren't very pleasant. We quickly turned and used the stairs, telling my daughter, and the stairs was closed as we left there, muttering indeed. It's clearly something that needs to be addressed, and it's a pity there were no more guardie on the streets that would sort this out. Now, let me move on today, because Faith Healer by Brian Friel is coming too. The crew from Dunmore. It's coming to the Faith Healer by Brian Friel. Dunmore Amateur Drama Society are bringing it back into town tonight. And Faith Healer by Brian Friel tells the unique story of Frank Hardy, his wife Grace, his manager Teddy, and they traverse rural Wales and Scotland, offering Frank's unique gift to people in need. Our own Oliver Turner, indeed, is one of the key performers in this. Oliver, morning to you. Thanks indeed for joining us. How are you?
Very good, Keith.
Coming to the end of a run, I would think.
Yeah, we've had a great run of it. And as I say, it's all culminating in a performance on the 22nd of this month in Mount Mellick in Laois, which is where the All-Ireland Drama Finals are being held this year. So we're one of 9 groups to have qualified with Faith Healer, and so we've been at it really since before Christmas.
So you've qualified for the final?
Yeah, so there was over 20 groups around the country have had a go at it, and there's a huge West of Ireland representation in the All-Ireland Final. So it just shows you the resurgence of interest in drama post-COVID in the West of Ireland.
But you know what strikes me about all of this is all voluntary. You do it voluntary, your crew do it voluntary. Isn't it great to see? That's why we're such a vibrant country here.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that it definitely is reflected in the huge support that each community gives then to their group when they go on and perform in different festivals and in different circuits as well. They always get, you know, huge praise and huge best wishes. And right through from Harvest Moon, a new group from Claremorris, Clonmacua, who are Kilchamach, St. Patrick's from Westport, you've got Linnamaddy and Dunmore, like 5 of the 9 are from the West of Ireland.
Wow.
So it's an extraordinary, I call it a resurgence, but there's huge interest in drama. And that's before, we'll say next year, when Clare Galway and Pontus Lear come back on the circuit again, who'd be one of the forerunners of drama in the West of Ireland for the last 40 years. So, there's going to be some crack next year with all these groups. And that's not to say, there's another group in Claremorris that didn't quite make it to the All-Ireland Finals, the Ray Leonard players. So they'll be there and come Pontus Lear next year. So you'll probably end up with 7 or 8 groups between Galway and Mayo. And that's just Galway and Mayo. That's before we start looking into Sligo Leitrim.
But let's look at this year's final. But I mean, have you always been involved in amateur dramatics?
Since we started Dads in 2003, I have. So there was George Bruin, myself, Brian Keating, a few of us kind of got involved in a production of Hugh Leonard's Da. And ironically enough, Philip MacDonald, who's currently directing, he'd have been there from the early plays that we started out, Martin Silk. A lot of the people who've been around for the last 20 odd years are still there and involved in some way, shape or form. Casts change, obviously, depending on the play that you do. This one only has 3 in it. We've done plays. I directed a play the last time we were in the Town Hall Theatre in Galway. I produced War by Roddy Doyle, which is a cast of 20 and set in a pub, and it's all about a table quiz, which ends up in War. And it was a rollicking ride. It was great crack. That's a decade ago now, but it was great fun. And Now we're back with Faith Healer. We ran it in the McLally Theatre in town in Druid last month, and we sold out four nights there, which was just a fantastic experience because it's so intimate.
What was it like? Was that the first time you'd done the McLally?
That was the first time we'd done the McLally. It's really where, I mean, I'm the Faith Healer, so I play the part of Frances Harding, the main character. And I suppose Hardy and his wife Grace and the manager Teddy, they're the three main protagonists in the play. And they tell different monologues. And the fact that you're on stage telling your own monologue and you're literally eyeballing the crowd in the front row, they are the people you're trying to heal and the people you're trying to sell the story to. And it is quite unbelievable because sometimes when you're up on those big stages, Keith, like you've done MC plenty of times at events where there's lights on you and you can't really see what's in front of you at all. Yeah. But this was very different because you're actually looking into the eyeballs of somebody that you might know, but for the purposes of the character you're playing, you blank all that out and they're just a shape, they're just a body that are there. And that
so
itself
you don't,
is
don't very see them then, is that what you're saying, that you blank out?
Depending on the venue, I mean, if I see Keith Finnegan in the front row of the Town Hall Theatre tonight and I know it's you, but it's not me that's on stage, it's Frances Hardy, but my mind's eye, when I'm looking at you, you know, you're somebody that I'm telling the story to. Now, without being too much of a spoiler alert, it's quite evident at the end of the play, when I come back for my second shorter monologue, exactly what's going on here, because ultimately this is a play about three people telling the same story three different ways and from three different perspectives, and the same would go for any aspect of life. If you and I and John Morley went to see a match at the weekend, the three of us would have three different stories going back to Damore and DeMayo and to Mike Cullen that night about who played well, who didn't play well, the ref was good, the ref was terrible. And that's really what Freel is getting at here. The main context of this as well, of course, is that I'm a faith healer who has, you know, huge doubts around the gift that I have and how that power fluctuates from time to time. On one given night, I could cure 10 people in a hall of a variety of ailments, and the next night, nothing at all could happen. And he does admit during the play, Francis, that the nights where I knew nothing was going to happen, that's when I knew in advance that this was just going to be a night of. And I think what the play ultimately is about is he's using the faith healer and faith healing as a means of expressing his own frustration at his creative abilities or lack of. And Freel himself in his diaries charts that time around the late 70s when the play started.
What's it like for you? Because you have to memorize every single line.
That's the first thing people always say to me. How can you stand up on stage and speak for 45 minutes without any cues or prompts or
is there anybody in
beer
the background?
Mats or newspapers. There's always people in the background in case for some reason you have a complete panic attack and you need to go and get a line or get something. So, you know, but thankfully that hasn't been needed yet for any of the actors. You just have to go and learn it and repeat it and repeat it to yourself. And I suppose the first thing is you get down 15 or 16 pages of text into your memory. And it's storytelling, Keith. So it's not like I'm learning, you know, just
doesn't
the
change,
capital cities of the world you know, stuff that you learn by rote. You're learning a story in the amazing words of Brian Freel, who's, you know, one of Ireland's, and most would say Ireland's greatest playwright. And the fact that he sets a lot of his plays as well in Donegal, where he spent a lot of his time Of course, he's an Oma man, but would be very fond of that part of the country. So there's that hint of the dialect from up there as well in a lot of his plays. But ultimately, Frank is an Irishman. His wife, Gracie, he claims is an English woman. She tells her own story. And Teddy is definitely English because all of his delivery is with a Cockney accent. So he's like a proper Londoner, yeah? So Martin Silk does a great job on that, because it's one thing me delivering a part in my own voice, but it's another thing when you have to be convincing as an Englishman.
And do you do it in your own voice?
I do it in my own voice, yeah, pretty much, yeah. Albeit I am Frank Hardy for the purposes of the 2 hours in the Town Hall Theatre tonight from 8 o'clock. Eleanor Sheridan, who's just racking up awards left, right and centre. It was said by one adjudicator who saw her that she's the best Grace he's ever seen of all of the professional productions he's seen going back 40 years, which is some plaudit to give to her, but she's incredible.
Where's she from?
She's from Dunmore, but she's living in Milltown, married to one of the Sheridans, Tony Sheridan.
Get away.
So there's a connection there as well. Of course, myself
small
and Martin.
World.
So I'm from Milltown, living in Dunmore, and she's gone the opposite direction. Yeah. Martin, of course, born and raised in Gortine, Dunmore. A terrific, versatile actor as well, who's played a multitude of parts. And this is a great challenge. He's the comic relief in this play as well. A lot of what I do is very intense. You'd say that's the way you are anyway, every day of the week. But
I think it's your nature that you're so intelligent.
I think there was a great response to the play in Clare Galway because we hadn't been there for a number of years. And that was one of the festivals we did, Keith, when it came around to the All-Ireland circuit. And we did really well there. And a lot of the people came up afterwards and they were kind of not sure what to expect from Faith Healer and they were just bowled over. And so when I do a comic part, it's always easy to get laughs and people enjoy that because they'd remember the crack that I'd have had over the years in the morning. But this is very different where you play a fairly intense role and he's not a particularly nice guy, Frank Hardy. I think you'll find that anybody in that position where he's controlling a crowd and an audience, there's ego, there's misogyny, there's a lot going on there in terms of his approach. But ultimately, I suppose by the end of the play, you realise that he's a guy that, you know, doubts himself. And in that doubt as well, that has to be portrayed.
That's the beauty of theatre, though. That is the beauty of well-done theatre.
It's a great night out. There's some amazing language in the play and amazing scenes as well. The lighting by Kieran Dowling is to be seen, to be believed. A lot of this Faith Healers have been done, Keith, with no set, just black curtains, because all you really need is a light on the actor. But Philip McDonald and Kieran have designed a set which reflects, I think, where Frank spent most of his years trying to cure people, and that were old, run-down, ramshackle halls. It's all they could afford. And I suppose you go in and you kind of see the dampness and you feel it. You're kind of back into this old, cluttered old hall. The chairs are stacked at the back and you'll see it tonight when you go along and you're kind of going, oh my God, you know, you're kind of squirming in your comfortable seat and that you're looking up at these performances in the old hall and you're getting a sense of what it was like. Of course, in Ireland, we have a huge interest traditionally and always had in the seventh son of a seventh son or people with cures, faith healers. We have a faith healer in this building, would you believe? And I won't say who she is, but she came to me afterwards and said, I'm a faith healer, you know, because she's a seventh daughter. So you just never know. People would have gone and it might be just a rash. It could be, you know, something, dermatitis. It could be any sort of condition. And people put their faith in the faith healer. Does the healer cure them? Do they cure themselves? These are all the questions that are examined. And it is really interesting. And I think tonight, anybody who's going along, and there's quite a few, thankfully, to the Town Hall Theatre, they will enjoy the show. As I say, it's the last performance in Galway City. We will be in the Mall in Tuam on Saturday night week in case anybody can't get to the Town Hall tonight. Mm. And then it's off to the All-Ireland in Mount Mellick in Laois.
So you're on 22nd, isn't it?
We're on the 22nd. So if you look at the schedule there.
I see the schedule here.
There was a draw at the weekend, Keith. So everybody literally potluck, the nine groups from around the country went into the hat and you were told what night you got.
So you're on Monday, 22nd of April, Dunmore. And then I see Glenn and Maddie are there as well. I mean, you're right. They're, it's this great
So right through, like it opens up with Harvest Moon from Clare Morris. Glenn and Maddie are on the second night. Then we're on the fifth night. And Clanmacua from Kilchima are on the final night. And then there's a break. And what they're doing this year is they're having the awards night then the following Saturday night, the 27th. So any group that wants to come back down to Mount Mellick to the main arts centre there. So they have a separate Hollywood-style Oscars awards night. Normally what they would have done over the years, Keith, is after the last play is finished, the adjudicator goes off, does his notes, compares everybody from the full long week and then comes back half an hour later. Everybody stays on. It goes quite late to kind of 11 or half 11 and then he'll announce the winners. So you might be finding out at midnight traditionally whether you won or not. Now that's changed. Glenn and Maddie, in fairness to them, changed it last year. They decided, no, we're going to do this at a much more approachable hour at like 8 o'clock in the evening on the following night where there's no play and you just come and they create a show out of the results and the awards everybody will be keeping their fingers crossed for that.
You kind of some texts coming there. I'm just trying to find it complimenting indeed. They saw the production, said it was absolutely the best production that they ever saw. So are there tickets available to the public then? 569777?
Yeah, you can get on to tht.ie or give a ring to the town hall if you fancy going along tonight. There's always room to squeeze people in. Of course, the first thing they'll fill, Keith, is the main body of the hall, and then you start getting the balconies filled as well once we get the right numbers up there as well. But it's a great theatre to have in Galway. It's an incredible facility. Powerful. And for us, it's like a GAA player getting a run out in Croke Park. Like, to get to play on the Town Hall Theatre stage is a real treat. And for an awful lot of amateur actors, they don't get that opportunity. So I have to say a big thanks to Philip McDonald and to All In Dads for giving us, the actors, the opportunity to put on this show tonight. It's up then to the punters to decide what they think of it.
Come here to any of the girls.
They're helping out backstage. Yeah, Rachel is one of the girls in black. And I have to mention, you know, the likes of, Joan McDonald, Philip's wife. You've got Josie Silk, Martin's wife, Marion Coleman and Pat Kennelly, and myself. I've got, three daughters and Trey's, and they've all helped out at different points where one wasn't available. Emma or Laura or Trey's had dig in. And it's literally, there's a couple of scene changes, so they just need bodies to get in and get off very quickly. And it's like a Formula One team. Marion is there, go. And you've got like 5 seconds to get on with two chairs and get off in the dark. And if you're 5.5 seconds, do it again. So that's all part of it, isn't it? That you just have so many, like the duck or the swan, there's so much happening under the water that you don't see. But I think the final production, ultimately, it's up to us to put on a show. And I think based on the reaction in Claregalway and in other venues around, people have really enjoyed it. A lot of people have gone to see it a few times, Keith, because they can't quite work out, what is the true story here? Who is telling the truth? Is it Frank or Grace or Teddy? And it's quite intriguing. So tonight, 8 o'clock, the Town Hall.
Absolutely. And good luck indeed with the final as well on the 22nd. Faith Healer by Brian Friel. If you want to get details, tickets available 569777 or just tht.ie as well. Oliver, thanks for joining us today. That's it for today.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motorball. Drive happy in Windsor Motorball, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.